Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your presence here with us this morning. And Lord, I pray right now that you would give me the words to speak. Lord, that your anointing would be so strong upon this time, Lord, that you'd break through any walls that have been built. That our eyes would be open to all that you've done for us and all that you want to do with our lives. May your will be done now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I was off work Friday. It was my scheduled day off, and I'd really like to get my sermon done, early if I can, because normally I do them on Friday nights into Saturday morning. But I was working out in the yard all day, burning brush piles and trimmages and cutting wood, and I'm still sore from it. I'm not used to working that hard, But I kept praying about a sermon, and I wasn't getting anything, and I just felt like the Lord kept saying, read 1 Timothy. So I started reading, and this is where I got to, and I've been thinking for the last couple of weeks, and this kind of went along with what I was thinking, I wonder if people really fully understand what Jesus has done for us. Who Jesus is, what being a Christian really means. And so hopefully that's going to kind of go along with that today. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And he says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, who I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So I'm going to kind of break this down a little bit, and I want to start with where he says, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So why would Paul say, I'm the worst sinner there is? Why, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, I don't know, Paul. I might run a pretty close battle with you. And you go back into Acts, Acts chapter 7. We're just going to do a little background on Paul. And if we understand correctly, Paul used to be Saul. Okay, so Acts 7, we'll start with verse 54, and we're just going to read a few verses there. We're going to be going back and forth between Acts and 1 Timothy, but Acts 7:54 says, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen had just got done addressing them about about who Jesus was and about the sin in their life. And so here they're furious with Stephen. At verse 57, at this, they covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Okay, this is who Paul is. This is Paul in his earlier life, okay? This is Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. I know it's a different time and everything. And you even go back, 100 years here, and when we were kids, we toured Judge Parker's courthouse and the museum and everything. And when they used to do hangings, what would happen? Everybody come to watch a hanging, And I don't want to see that. And I'm sitting here thinking, if I saw somebody being stoned, I don't care how bad a guy they was, I don't want to see it. And I know it's a different time and everything, but here it's saying that Saul was given his approval. And then you go on in chapter 8 on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Saul was a bad dude. And that's this guy that's saying, of who the worst sinners I was. And you jump over a little bit in chapter 9, and he gets converted, but on his way, chapter 9, verse 1, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. He wanted to stomp out Christianity. You jump over in 9 and verse 13 and 14, and the Lord's telling Ananias to go to Saul. Well, he doesn't realize Saul had been converted, but what's he say in verse 13? Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. He was a really bad guy, and he was there to destroy. So when we go back over here to 1 Timothy 15, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the worst. So after reading all this, you might say, yeah, I agree, he was the worst. But you know, there's something about when you recognize your sin in your life. There's something about that, y'all, I'm not saying this to just say it, but I know Pete. I know who I am and who I used to be. And I know how terrible of a person I was. So to say the worst sinner, I'm not lying when I say, when I know what went on in my thoughts, what went on in my heart, I can raise my hand. I was a worse sinner. I was terrible. And to come to the realization, I think is key, and it's important in your walk with God today, is saying, I'm bad. I was horrible. I was a sinner. I was lost. And not have excuses. Well, it's just because, you know, I got in the wrong group of friends. It's because my mom and dad didn't love me. It's because my parents got divorced. It's because of this. It's because my husband was this way or my wife was that way. And no excuses. There's a point in all of our lives, if we want to be children of God, that we have to recognize that we are sinners. In Acts 2:37, Peter was preaching to him, and it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And I think about that, and I think about the state that I used to be and what a sinner and lost person I was. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. See? And that's a key element in all this. Verse 38 in Acts 2, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, it's important for us to recognize we're sinners, and then to repent, and then we will receive forgiveness of sins. How can this be when we're the worst of the worst? Because Jesus came into the world to save sinners. See, I think sometimes when people that don't go to church and people that don't weren't raised as having God a part of their life and Jesus a part of their life, and they see what we're doing here and they don't understand who Jesus is and why He came. They think of God up there with lightning bolts ready to strike you down dead. And they think of well, if I become a believer, then I'm going to be under condemnation, or I'm not going to have any fun anymore. But Jesus came to save the sinners. He came to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Y'all, that's good news for you and me this morning, that Jesus has come to save the sinners, to save those who were lost. Go back to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 12. Matthew 18, verse 12 says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." Have you wandered? I have. Have you wandered away? Were you lost? Could you raise your hand this morning and say, "I was one of those that could be put up in the top category of worst sinners"? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's seeking the lost this morning. He's seeking those that are lost. Here, the example is the sheep wandering off, that He's seeking those that are lost this morning. And I think that in our world, that message is not really getting out there anymore, that the lost that Jesus loves and He cares, and He wants to see the lost come to repentance. He wants to see the sinner saved. Psalms 103:8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love." I'm so thankful for that compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Verse 10 says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." Thank God that He doesn't repay us according to what we deserve. You know, there's many times that God's been so good to me and I didn't deserve it. That God's shown His love and His kindness and there was no way I deserved it. 1 Timothy 1:16, "Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on Him and receive eternal life." I'm going to read the whole thing again in 1 Timothy. "Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life." So is your life displaying what Christ has done? This is who I was, and this is who I am now. See, that's what I'm really taking from this is the example of I'm no longer who I used to be. And look at the example that I deserve death, that I deserve punishment. I don't deserve all that God has given me, because I was the worst of the worst sinners. But because of how much God loves me, how much Jesus loves me, He's transformed me. And now I should be an example to all those in the world of, look at what the Lord has done. Look at how He's changed me. Look at how He's transformed me. You know, I was thinking about this, and I think it was like in the 90s, probably. It might have been the 80s, those info commercials that was on. And you know, they would have the newest mop or I remember the OxyClean, I think. And then, you know, and they'd spill, you know, grape juice in the carpet and then they'd pour the OxyClean on it. And it seemed like it was a guy with an accent, which I'm terrible at accents, so I'm not going to do the accent for you. But there was a guy with an accent and he was always like, look at how amazing this is. The grape juice is gone. And, you know, and they get so excited displaying their product. You guys know what I'm talking about. Did anybody ever see the infomercials? And, you know, back when I was a teenager, you know, it was like 11 o'clock, the American flag and the national anthem came on the television, you know, and so after that there was no more TV except for you could find the infomercials that would go on all night. I'm old, I'm sorry. And you know, so I used to watch those infomercials sometimes, and they were always trying to sell this product and this amazing thing that it did. And so when I was reading this, I just thought to myself, we're on display now. Look what the Lord has done. He took this terrible, filthy sinner and transformed him into something completely different. Sometimes I don't like to tell stories of myself, and sometimes I tell too much. But Crystal reminded me this week, and I had completely left my memory. But Melissa Gazaway and another lady, when she had Madeline, brought dinner for us. We weren't friends with them, but I mean, not to say we were friends with them, but they weren't close friends, you know. But they went to a church where Crystal used to go as a teenager, and so they were just coming to show their kindness and love and everything, and brought us dinner while she had just had Madeline. I said, I completely forgot about that, because we were praying for Melissa and the cancer and everything. I said, I completely forgot about that. And she said, you don't remember how mad you were that I let them in? Because you had beer in the fridge and you were mad because you didn't want them to see that you drank. I said, I don't remember that at all. It completely left me. Thank God it completely left me. But y'all, I think about who I used to be. What I used to have in my home. I could go on, but it's terrible. Stuff I had no business participating in. And who I used to be and who I am now. Look what the Lord has done. I was the worst sinner. And you know, and it's hard sometimes for people, like, you know, a lot of y'all didn't know the old Pete. You just know the new Pete. So it's hard that you just see this guy that, oh, is just so wonderful. Thank you, you know, I'm so happy and joyful. And man, he's just the greatest guy ever. That's not always who I was. But look what the Lord has done. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on me and receive eternal life. Can your life today, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're at school, can people say, wow, look what the Lord has done? Look how different they are. They're not the person they used to be. There's something different. There's something transformed about them. Philippians 3:12 says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I think it was it was Sunday night. We was talking about Ananias and Sapphira and them selling the property, and they didn't turn over all the money, and it was a false sense of they was trying to hide that they were holding back. They were trying to make believe they were something that they wasn't. And, you know, and I'm not up here telling you this morning. Last week, what did I preached on jealousy and how I was struggling with jealousy last week. I'm not up here acting like I'm perfect, y'all, but what I am telling you is I ain't who I used to be. That's not very good English, is it? I ain't who I used to be. I'm not. There's something different about me. And I press on and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, some of you can't forget what's behind because you're still living in it. You're still entangled in that sin. Y'all, today is the day that Jesus Christ can set you free. Today is the day that you can actually put it behind you. Now, I've preached on those verses several times about forgetting what's behind as far as success and failures. But today I want to tell you more about the failures. You can forget what's behind you. I'd forgot about that. There's other things that I remember that I wish I could forget. The way I've hurt people, the way I was mean and vicious, and I wish I could forget some of those things, you know. But we need to forget about them and look at what the Lord is doing today in our lives. Verse 15, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attain. Join with others in following my examples, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave. Are people taking note of your life? Can you say, you want to be a Christian? Follow my example. Live like I live. Do what I do. For as I've often told you before, and now say even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Y'all, Jesus Christ is doing a work in us. He's doing a work, and we should be on display for all to see. Look what the Lord has done. We're going to finish up with this. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 says, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardship and persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Y'all, when I am weak, then I am strong. For I was the worst of the sinners. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might be displayed, His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal glory. Y'all, you were saved for a reason. You are on display now for the world to see. Can people look at your life and say, wow, they're different? They're not the person they used to be. They're different. Y'all, I'm even working on being different from last week to this week. I'm not lying. This week, you know, and sometimes I gripe and complain. And, you know, there was some things this week at work, and I'm in a group text with a lot of guys from work, and they're all, saying funny things or griping about this or griping about that. And there was two different times this week I started to text something. And the Lord said, Pete, what are you doing? And I deleted it, and I didn't send it. Oh, I wanted to so bad. It would have been a good story. No. Why, Pete? Because I should be an example. I don't act like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. It's funny, this morning, about 7:30, my phone starts going off, and Crystal's like, who is that? I'm like, the guys from work. And I wasn't responding. I wasn't saying anything. And then they was giving me a hard time. They said, I bet Pete's already at church getting the offering plates ready. That's what they think about me at church, is I just come here for an offering, you know. And so I sent him a picture of the Second Timothy, because I thought, okay. I sent him a picture of that scripture. And I said, no, what I'm going to be talking about is being the worst sinners. And look what the Lord has done. And it was crickets. And finally one of them says, oh, Pete's about to throw down the word or something, you know. And I said, y'all come on. They were sending pictures of them working with their cows this morning. I said, it don't matter if you smell like you've been working with the cows. Come on to church. And of course, none of them came. But y'all, if I act just like them, why would they want what I have if I'm no different? See, I'm to be an example of what the Lord has done with a wretched, wicked man. Not that I've already attained, but I hope I'm better this week than I was last week. I hope I'm better this month than I was last year, and the year before that, and the year before that. And I hope if one of y'all come to my house today, I wouldn't be ashamed of anything you'd find, except for maybe a little dust or something like that. Look what the Lord has done. Can that be said about your life? Could that be said about my life every day? It's a question that I have to answer for myself. But y'all, Jesus loves us so much. He's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, not giving us what we deserve, not repaying us according to our iniquities. So let's grab hold of Him with everything that we are. And let's truly be able to say, look what the Lord has done in my life and in your life. So if y'all would, please stand. I'm going to pray, and then I ask Mitzi for a specific song to end the service. And as we sing this song, I want you to really think about the words and really think, are they true for my life? Are they true for who I am? And if they're not true, and if you've seen no change in your life, then I hope, just as when Peter was preaching, that you were cut to the heart this morning and you said, Pete, there's no change in my life and I'm not different than who I used to be. And that right now then is the time to repent. Right now is the time to ask Jesus to forgive you. And He will. And He will transform your life. Or maybe this morning you're saying, Pete, it's been a change, but boy, it's been a slow change. I just encourage you, grab hold of Jesus. Pray, read your word, cut some stuff out. You know, with a cancer, if they leave it alone, what's it do? It grows. It needs to be sometimes cut out, sometimes medicated. Something needs to be done to keep it from spreading. And y'all, that's what sin is in our life. It's a cancer, and sometimes we need to just cut it out. Father, we thank You today. Lord, I pray for forgiveness for myself. I pray for forgiveness for this congregation, Lord, of the times that we have not been a good example, that we have not lived out our faith at work, at school, at home, in the private moments of our life, Lord, that we've fallen back into the trap of sin, that we've said the things that we shouldn't have said, that we've let our tempers get the best of us, that we've acted wrongly. Father, I pray for Your forgiveness now. I pray that we would recognize, Lord, if there's any that's still living in sin this morning, that they would recognize that and that they would repent. Just as Paul said that I am the worst, and Lord, that we wouldn't make excuses any longer. There's no excuse, but Father, that we would confess it as sin and repent and turn from that. And Father, my prayer is that as we go to, Lord, as we leave this church this afternoon and go home, go to our restaurants, wherever we go, Father, that we would understand that You're with us, that You're there to guide and direct us. And Lord, that we might be an example to our wives, to our husbands, to our children, to our co-workers, of all that You've done and all that You're doing in our lives. May each of us, from this moment on, say, look what the Lord has done. Have Your way now in Jesus' mighty name.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise His name. Each day is just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. Oh, gonna praise His name. Each day it's just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Y'all sing with me.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise His name. Each day it's just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
I promise you, if you give Jesus Christ your life, you'll be able to look back and say, look what the Lord has done. It's not arrogance. It's not. And we've been studying in Acts, and when Peter had done the miracles, and he said, you look at me as if it's something that I've done. It's not what I've done, it's what the Lord's done in me, y'all. And it's so exciting if you just stop and you think, wow, I can't even believe that was me. Look what the Lord's done with my life. Look at how He's transformed me. It's all Jesus. And He'll do it with your life if you give it to Him. Think about it this week. Let's live out our faith this week. Bible study tonight, 6:30. We're in Acts chapter something. 5, 6, somewhere in there, 4. I don't know. We'll look tonight when we get there. And elders meeting at 5:30. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. Oh, I'm gonna praise His name. Each day it's just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.